Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
Let's banter.
Oh my. There's plenty to
now
banter
look,
about. Do you still have your baby teeth?
You know, I am so youthful, you would expect it, but I don't have
I thought all of your bottom teeth were your baby teeth. I got none.
Listen, you're responsible for this show.
I know.
Streaming. It's called Baby Teeth.
It's great. Streaming on Hulu.
Okay.
I believe
also
Amazon.
Yeah, maybe, yes.
Yes.
Either that or Netflix.
But or Netflix.
Anyway, people can look it up. Google
yeah.
it. Google
wherever
it,
you stream see. Things.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Baby teeth. I mean, what is it about that that you like?
I loved a lot about it. I loved Mila, who is played by Eliza Scanlon.
What a great performance.
Excellent.
Yep.
Last time I saw her, she was in Little Women, I believe.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
She was also sick in that, right?
Okay.
Didn't she play?
She's sick in this?
Yeah. She's sick in this. She's terminally ill. Young, very young woman.
Maybe 16.
Yeah. She falls in love with a 23-year-old Moses, played by Toby Wallace. He's fascinating. Anyway, he's basically a drug dealer.
Yes. And an addict.
And an addict.
And is it the dream of every parent who wants their daughter to
yes.
find a love.
Right. Especially a daughter who is terminally ill and doesn't have much time.
No,
you
right.
You know, geez.
Yeah. Every parent out in our audience can identify with the bind here. That it's not what they want for their daughter.
Mm-mm.
Naturally, no parent wants their daughter to fall in love with a junkie.
Mm-mm.
Yet he seems to make her very happy.
Yeah.
And the bind is, do you boot him out because he just isn't a good future for her,
mm-hmm.
But she has no future.
Right.
And you want her last days to be happy. So what a bind.
Yeah.
And, you know, parents frequently find themselves in the situation where it makes a child happy. For instance, I think about smartphones.
Yeah.
And how magnetized.
Oh my gosh.
Our children have become with that.
Yes.
And yet they're very happy with it and it calms them down and it does so many good things. A parent,
Well, especially during COVID, I mean, you can't be just educating your child yourself the whole day, you know? We have to throw a smartphone in their face every once in a while to just.
And you have to get tough.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the car, it doesn't mean he should be looking at that
right.
all the time.
Absolutely. So. Well, that's the thing that I thought was so special about this film is my sort of takeaway, at least sort of philosophically, is that the parents had to just lean into their circumstances.
Yes.
They had to stop resisting. They had to face facts.
That's a good term.
Then they all started, you know, they were this weird family at the end. Like, even the neighbor, the woman, they all went to the beach together. This woman who Ben Mendelsohn plays Mila's father, Henry, he basically has relations with this neighbor lady
one time. Yeah. Yeah, but they have been attracted to each other. They've been flirting,
mm-hmm.
And she just lives, I don't know, across the street.
Across the street.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's odd, but then when you think about how odd their family is, how dysfunctional their family is,
right.
that he is attracted to somebody outside who gives him relief the way Mila gets it from Moses.
Absolutely.
And I'm always interested in that motif of the outsider.
Yes.
How the outsider changes things.
Right.
And this is a perfect example.
I agree. I think you're right. It's the neighbor for the father character. It's Moses for Mila. And then for Anna, played by Essie Davis.
Oh, terrific Australian actress.
She's amazing.
Yes.
She's beautiful.
Yes.
She's the mother. And hers is music. I think that the teacher she has a relationship with, Mila's violin teacher, she used to play piano with this teacher that's now teaching her daughter.
Yes.
And I think for her, that's a reprieve.
Yes,
to go there.
And don't you think also, What I like about the structure of this film is that there are correspondence in each case, just as we've talked about The Outsider.
Right.
Also, drugs.
Yes, for sure.
And she, mom
is taking drugs.
Yeah,
cope.
And dad, as a psychiatrist, is able to dispense them.
Yeah,
which he has done for her, and he is going to do for Moses, which is one of the most extraordinary parts of this. He actually supplies him and welcomes him into the family because he realizes how much joy he brings to Mila.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the things here is that we know in this formula that she's going to die. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And many, even that film, it's The Fault is Under Our Stars or whatever, where you have a young teenager dying. Mm-hmm. It's been played many times.
Right.
And this one, what I like about this is that the family is so so dynamic.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
That the cancer is almost not even a player at some point.
Yeah, right. They just seem like a dynamic, interesting. They're living their lives.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I agree with that. With the all of them are so dynamic. You know, like music, art. It's a very feeling movie. I just remember. So there's a scene where Mila goes to a party with Moses.
Oh.
And she gets dressed up and she, you know, he tells her she looks pretty, you know, and she's too young to drink, but she does drink there.
Oh, yeah.
And you can feel the heightened senses that she has.
Yes.
You feel like you're at this party, like you're getting drunk with her.
Good one.
And the music and the light, and she experiences all of that at such an exquisite level, which is probably in part because she's young. But it's also her awareness of her illness, you know?
Which she never plays up.
She is never, there's none of that feeling sorry.
And the film does not play it up either, which I like very much about it. It's
Me
not
too.
Maudlin.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't, veer into uber sentimentality.
No.
It just goes on. Almost as if, look, this is the way life is. Some die early, some die late.
Yeah.
And so we're going to try to... We're going to try to be happy.
Yes.
And try to make each other happy. And that is a complicated mess.
I agree. I agree. And you're right to say, like, this movie does make you think some people die early and some die late.
Yeah.
And it's whether you have a terminal illness or not, it's going to happen to us. So how are we going to live the happiest we can live?
Yeah. And And you make me think, what I love is that you telescope a life. Because hers is so short, and she's going to experience love, whether you like it or not. She needs it, and she should have it as a human being. She deserves it.
Yes.
And but it may be foreshortened, of course, by the cancer. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like this is a life. However you look at it, this is a life. And that I love that about this film is the parents are so tortured by the circumstances. Mostly because they love their daughter.
Yeah, they love their daughter so
much. And they love each other.
They do love each other.
How about the scene in his office?
Yeah.
Where
they have an every Tuesday. They have an every Tuesday meeting at his office. He's a psychiatrist. And at first you think it's the first scene. So you don't know who they are yet, really. And you're like, oh my God, is he going to... have sex with his client right now.
Right.
And it's his wife.
Yes,
and that's
right.
Just such a fun surprise.
Yes.
And they definitely love each other.
An eccentric couple.
Yes.
And but yet they're faced with eccentricity beyond their imagination.
Yeah.
With Moses, who is an intruder. And
yes.
He is changing things.
Mm-hmm.
But the cancer is an intruder too.
Right.
I
love
changing
that, looking at it like that. It's true. Because they were this sort of, you could see them as almost bohemian.
Oh, yes,
you know,
yes,
like
yes. Good one.
Great, interesting daughter who's very smart, plays the violin beautifully. a mother who is a classically trained and successful pianist.
Yes. Now she won't play.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
To me, I was trying to understand it as a narrative tool.
Yes.
And all I could think was that it was her sort of avoidance of reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I think that this movie like teeters between this, let's pretend it's not happening, and then we have to confront it. You know, it's like this constant back and forth, and you can't dwell on that. You can't dwell on death every day.
Yeah.
So I feel like I wonder if the piano playing is not wanting to do it is some like trying to further the theme of keeping at bay.
Yeah, I like that very much. Mm-hmm. There's almost a cliched depiction of the teacher, of the piano teacher.
Yeah,
you know, kind of disheveled.
Yeah, he's
bright,
European.
Yeah, European, mysterious,
thick accent.
Yeah. And he's trying to teach. Do we do see him trying to teach somebody else?
The little kid who he's just sitting there. Now he comes into the fold too. He's just sitting out. He missed the bus for school.
Oh, good.
And so the teacher says, come on in. I've got, crackers, biscuits. And then he starts to try to teach the little one, and now.
Well, yeah. we know, and that helps me too. Again, another outsider. Mm-hmm. Again, somebody else who's not adjusting to the demands of music.
Yeah.
Or to the gifts that it gives. That people are out of sync here.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you said with her, not playing the mom, not playing the piano, that's strange.
Yeah.
Now, she does, though, have a scene with her daughter.
At the end, right?
Yeah, where the daughter is playing the violin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
And mom is playing the piano.
Yes.
And
that... I wonder if that was also part of why she didn't play, just to give that scene more weight.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know.
What about the ending? It's not that we're giving anything away that Mila's going to die.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
The ending, did that help you at all in the film?
Yeah, I felt like, it's like the first time you see Moses and Mila. Because Moses, despite being a drug addict dealer, he is very, at times, protective of her. Like at the party, he was a little protective of her.
Yes.
He even says, when she says, do you like me? And he says, obviously. And she said, no, do you like me? Like me.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, I don't want to hurt you. And so he's very, and he's not like overly romantic with her, or sexual in any way, but they do have this intimate moment and you're like, okay, she deserves that.
Yep.
But then the way that the parents find out, I think it's heartbreaking, because you start to sense it's really slow. They're happy. It seems like everybody's happy for this moment. And then he comes out of the bedroom and you slowly realize.
Wonderful moment of anticipation. Yes. Where they have had the luxury of watching the two of them roll around in the yard.
Oh, right, right.
So that's a case of where they're where they're privileged to watch the sexual encounter of their daughter.
Yeah.
And there's something pleasing about that.
Yeah.
Although Anna says, this is not parenting. This is something, she said, the worst parenting ever.
This is the worst parenting ever. He's like, I know.
We understand where they're coming from. Now, another scene that I love,
mm-hmm.
was the opening sequence in which the sequence in which she meets Moses.
It's great.
I mean, he practically pushes her into a subway car.
Yeah.
In the front.
Right. And then, so he runs he almost pushes her into the subway.
Yeah. Not purposely, just.
Yeah, he's just running like a crazy person. And he has things on his, like scabs, scratches on his face.
Oh, and he also has tattoos.
And a rat tail.
Yeah, right.
And like, he just looks. And so he jumps into a subway car, and then she gets a bloody nose.
Yes.
And he jumps out.
Yes.
And he's worried about her legitimately.
Yeah.
But then he also is opportunistic about it.
Yes, know? He like, is. I mean, yeah.
He asks her for money right away. You seem like a nice person.
And he also tries to steal late at night.
Yes.
The drugs from the house after they've welcomed him into the home.
Absolutely.
But that first scene where there's some kind of magical connection between the two of them, I liked it a lot.
Me too.
But they do have her in her school uniform, do they not?
Yes.
So that juxtaposes with his completely disheveled,
right,
bohemian look.
Yes.
And so you can tell she's ready for something completely different in her life to liberate her, even though her life is going to be short.
Right.
So I love that, a variation of meeting cute.
Yes. No, exactly. It was just the love at first sight moment, but dark.
Yes.
You know?
And the ending, which you helped me with, because I was a little bit concerned that it was too lyrical for the film.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. There's something that binds them all together in that final one. Mm-hmm. Something that elevates Moses for us.
Mm-hmm.
Something that brings, it's like the ending of a Terrence Malick movie or something. It's something really spiritual about the way in which director Shannon Murphy pulls this all together. And I think it was necessary. I was initially saying, no, this is way out.
Right.
But now I'm beginning to see that it works.
Yeah. It's as if, so, Moses doesn't tell the parents right away, but somehow they know.
Yes.
And we know in his behavior. And we also remember that Mila says to the father, take care of Moses, look after him. And you feel, I get this sense of like, at least now he's got some touchstone.
Oh, yeah.
His mother was just not having it anymore.
Yeah,
He had no family. He had a little brother.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and that, we're never given the real backstory on his home life.
No.
He was kicked out.
Right.
So something pretty bad must have happened in that family.
Yeah. And you're assuming it's him stealing or drug use, and she just had it,
So in a sense, he needs Mila as much as she needs him. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then somehow they're drawn into a family where the psychiatrist's dad can feed him drugs to keep him there.
In kind of in a safe, controlled way.
Yes, yes, yes.
Better than being out on the street, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
So we have an odd movie.
Yeah, all but right. I love that.
Yeah. And so do you think parents are going to get comfort from this movie?
No. Not at all. Not like all their worst fears, all of them, existential and otherwise.
Yes, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yet, a caution for everybody that we can't fully direct the lives of others.
Yes.
And they can't fully direct the life of their daughter. And what I like is it forces them to think about what's good for her.
Yes, that's perfectly said. I agree. I have one question.
Yes.
I read that the New York Times said this movie had texture but no depth. And the more we talk about, I understand that sentiment. But the more you and I talk,
yes,
it's clear to me there's plenty of depth.
And I agree with you, but that's because you and I are willing to extract that from the clues we are given.
Right.
And I think the Times in that article and stuff, I remember it, was strangely negative about something that they usually exalt, which is suggestiveness, a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was, now, what I do agree with them is that there's an awful lot of it going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awful lot of metaphor going on.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And characters. And
perhaps to distract from, or to try to avoid any cliche.
Exactly,
of
yes.
the premise.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in fact, perhaps that could be a criticism of the film, that she is, the director is way too interested in making sure you don't see this as a cliche.
Yeah.
Kind of forcing that. So I a bit see them, but I'm with you. I mean, you and I, we've ripped, we've done 25 minutes of this already, and we don't seem to have stopped at all.
Right.
And I've gotten some insights, naturally, in talking to you. I've gotten some insights I didn't have before, which means that the film is rich.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's called Baby Teeth.
Baby Teeth.
Summer Marie, what grade would you award Baby Teeth?
I'm giving it an A minus.
I am too.
I can't even articulate why the minus. now that we've talked about it, but...
Well, I think when you brought up the Times article, you brought in the negative.
Okay.
And they're not totally wrong.
Right.
It's just way, because you could see it as surface because there's so much going on.
Right.
But we are willing to take...
Unpack it.
Right. Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so Back Talk is produced by me, John DeSando. Listen to the shows on the podcast experience at wcbe.org.